According to a little song that we all learned as children, we know that Jesus loves us because the Bible tells us so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, this morning, as we reflect on the baptism of Christ, might we change the song to this? Jesus loves me, this I know, for his baptism tells me so. Baptized ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. How then does baptism, the baptism of Christ, show his love for us? And why is Christ baptized? John, when Jesus comes to be baptized, he tries to talk Christ out of it, does he not? For John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And surely Jesus, the perfect God-man, has no need to repent. In verses 11, right before the passage that we just read, John is in the wilderness and he's declaring, I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Why did Jesus get baptized? Did he need to repent? No, we say. But he says, and this is the reason he gives in the gospel reading, he is baptized so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. Righteousness in the Gospel of Matthew means to do God's will. So Jesus is publicly declaring here through his baptism that he will do God's will. He will obey God, even if it means becoming a human being and ultimately going to the cross on our behalf. Jesus loves us, this we know, for his baptism tells us so. Through his baptism, he identifies with sinful humanity, and he declares that it is his will and his honor to obey the Father and thus fulfill all righteousness. And it is his obedience that makes it possible for us to obey. His obedience makes it possible for us to obey the Father. He shows us the way to the Father and shows us how we also can become obedient. And so when we are baptized, we are saying that we want to do God's will. We want all righteousness to be fulfilled in our lives. We want to do what you, Father, tell us to do. Maybe some of us were baptized as children, and so our parents stood in for us and said, we are promising and declaring to the world that this child will follow and obey God. And as we grow and we're confirmed, we reassert those vows and we say, yes, I declare that I want to fulfill all righteousness. I want to obey the will of God. And every time we have a baptism here, we all say the vows again, do we not? We take those vows and we say, we want to obey God's will. We want to fulfill all of the righteousness called for us. This is what baptism represented for those coming to the Jordan River. They were coming out to repent. But Jesus had no need for repentance, but we do. Repentance is simply a turning or a changing of the mind. The Greek word is meta and noia. Meta means turning, noias, nous is mind. Turning of the mind, a changing of the mind. Repentance is gaining new insight into who we are, new self-understanding in our mind. Repentance is knowing who we are, seeing things as they actually are. And I propose that this is a hopeful thing. It's hopeful because when we see ourselves the way God sees ourselves, through the eyes of God, we realize who we are and we realize that God is with us and wants to transform us. But he can't transform us into being fully alive human beings that he has created for his glory until we see the depth of who we really are in our sin. How many of you have ever felt stuck in your sin? Ever felt stuck and you begin to despair? I just feel stuck where I'm at. And we slouch through life thinking, man, I just can't get rid of this besetting sin or these thoughts or this depression or these things that are going on in our life. And we know in our minds that God forgives, but somehow we're unable to grasp it for ourselves. Repentance says, change your mind, change your thinking. Yes, we are powerless to change, but guess what? God is not powerless. He is able to help us change. This feeling of being stuck in the old person, in our sin, is the true enemy of repentance. Repentance is joyous. It's hopeful. It's an awareness that God never gives up on us, and neither should we. No matter how many times it takes, we keep telling the truth about ourselves and turning around. One author says that we must never, never, never keep saying that we can't do it. Never say, I'll never recover. Stop saying, I'll never get it. Stop saying, I'll never learn. Why? Because we believe in God's goodness more than we believe in our own badness. Did you catch that? We believe in God's goodness, do we not? More than we believe in our own badness. He's bigger than any sin or anything in our life. True repentance isn't about me and my limited powers and possibilities. It's about God. Repentance has more faith in God's power to make us new than in our power to mess up. And baptism is this symbol of our willingness to repent, to follow God and the will of God. And the wonderful story that C.S. Lewis writes in the Chronicles of Narnia, he writes one called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I've probably told you this story before. In this book, there's a main character called Eustace, and he falls to greed. He becomes greedy, and all of a sudden, he falls asleep one day on a hoard of gold, and what is he awake to find himself as? A greedy dragon with thick dragon skin, and he's wandering the hills as a dragon. He can't be with his friends, and he feels lost, and one day, Aslan appears to him, the lion, and he's the god figure in these books. And he's surprised to meet Aslan, and he feels ashamed. And Aslan leads Eustace through the mountains to a lovely little valley, and there is a bubbling spring that's formed a beautiful pond. And Eustace has this deep desire to get in the pond and cleanse himself and experience the coolness of the water. And Aslan tells him, undress, get into the pond. And he looks himself, and he has no clothes, but he's got this dragon skin. And so, like snakes shed their skin, he begins to peel off layers of the skin. And each time he peels off a layer, guess what? There's still more there. And he can't get the skin off, and he can't do it. It lies there beside him, like ugly, gnarly dragon skin, like snake skin. And after peeling off several layers of skin, like a banana peel, he's still all scaly and ugly and dragony. Finally, Aslan the lion says to him, you must let me undress you. Eustace says, I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now, so I just lay flat down on my back to let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart, and when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. You know, if you've ever picked the scab of a sore place, it hurts like crazy, but it is such fun to see it coming away. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just like I'd done it myself the other three times, only they hadn't hurt, and there it was lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and knobbly looking than the others had been. Then he caught hold of me and he threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone. And then I saw why. I turned into a boy again. God wants to turn us into real people, whole and good and joyful, with lives filled with meaning and purpose. Repentance is letting God's Spirit peel away the gnarly skin of our sinfulness, layer after layer. And baptism is the bracing splash of new life, along with the power of the Holy Spirit to start afresh. And John points to Jesus and says, he will baptize you, not just with water, right? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire that burns away. And it hurts, but what does it do? It purifies and it cleanses. Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Spirit. By submitting his will to God that day in baptism, and ultimately submitting himself to the cross, he transforms John the Baptist's baptism of water, water that symbolizes repentance. He takes that and he transforms it into a real Christian spirit baptism. Something happens in baptism. This is why we call it a sacrament. It represents something real that happens in the spiritual realm. And he makes us new creatures. Jesus transformed that baptism into a real experience of the Holy Spirit. It's no longer just mere water, symbolizing repentance. It's something spiritual and powerful. Something happens in baptism. Jesus, when he comes up out of the water, what does he see? He experiences three things on that day when he comes up out of the water in baptism. First of all, he sees the heavens open. Who lives in the heavens? God, the Heavenly Father. Heaven is opened to Jesus before him. Then a voice says, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased." And then he sees the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. We are told in the end of Matthew's gospel to go out into the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There, when Jesus came out of the water, he saw heaven open. The realm of God was open to him, the Father. He was declared as the Son who is beloved by the Father, and he sees the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We, when we are baptized and join Christ in his baptism, we are transformed, we are united with him, and we have access to the Father. The heavens are open for us as well. God declares that you are united with my Son, you have been adopted into my family, and you are my beloved son or daughter. I love you, I am well pleased with you. And the Spirit comes down and pours into our hearts and transforms us, and we are pulled into a relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We Christians, and all human beings actually, go through this world asking this one question. Even children ask this question. Who am I? What is my identity? What makes me special? What makes me who I am? And the great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen said there's three ways that we answer this question of who am I? What is my identity? He said the first way we try to answer this question on our own is we say, I am what I have. You know people that try to identify, form their identity through what they have, what they own, what they collect? Some people try to form their identity. They say, I am what I do. Achievements, degrees, jobs, success, whatever it is. Some of us try to say, I am what other people say about me. I am what other people say about me. These are the three main ways that humans try to form their identity. I am what I have, I am what I do, I am what other people say about me. We have been united with Christ. God looks down on us, and what does he say? What's our identity? You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. That is your identity if you have been baptized with Christ. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. Ronnie, you are my son. I am well pleased. You are my daughter. I am well pleased with you. I love you. We have been wrapped up in Christ, in his baptism, in his life. We are connected with the Father and the triune God. This is who we are. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he had just been excommunicated from the church. He was in hiding in a castle. He's left his family, his friends, his university where he taught. He decides to translate the Bible from Latin into German so that the people can have it. It's the first time that the people will have the Bible in their own language. He's doing this monumental task. He's locked away in this office, this room up in a castle. He's lonely. He's worried. People want his life. He's despairing. And it's said that you could hear him in the castle throwing things at the wall, like his inkpot, and yelling at something. He was fighting despair and demons of depression, and he's worried. And he's in this little cubicle working and working. And you know what he was yelling when he was fighting these demons of despair and depression? He was shouting these words, I am baptized. I am baptized. Over and over again, he's repeating that and reminding himself, you have no power over me, darkness. I am one with Christ. Remember our baptisms this morning. Jesus has called us to be part of his triune life with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are baptized. Jesus loves me. This I know. For my baptism tells me so. Baptized ones to him belong. We are weak.
but he is.